And we are back live with the Christina Silva Show, Educating Our Veterans. What an amazing first segment with the director of Western Military Campuses, Janice Neal, with David Handerhan, live from Los Angeles Air Force Base and Luke Air Force Base. This show is brought to you by State Farm, Jimmy Ramirez Agency, and Webster University at Los Angeles Air Force Base. The Christina Silva Show is considered a commitment, educating our veterans a community responsibility. And now, our guest of the hour is Ron Moore, TV and radio personality from K-Love Radio, author, pastor, and now mentor. Ron Moore, welcome to the Christina Silva Show.
Hey, thank you, Christina. It's great to be on with you.
Amazing. We are fellow United States Marine Corps veterans, so I want you to give the whole world a big Semper Fi hoorah.
Hoorah! Semper Fi, do or die, first to fight, last to quit.
I love it. Well, Ron Moore, broadcasting live with you is an amazing honor because we have so much to be committed to with our fellow comrades who are serving overseas, and we had a great first segment knowing that you can come on as an invocator to give the world true inspiration and motivation.
Well, thank you. It's always very humbling when I think about our troops who are overseas laying their lives on the line every single day.
Most definitely. And with the hurricanes in mind, and also with Irma, Jose, and the name Harvey, we really want to praise God for keeping us safe and putting boots on the ground through all the veteran service organizations and charitable entities, especially police, fire, and medical teams, supporting those in Houston, Florida, and overseas.
Yes, our Marines, as a matter of fact, have been deployed to Florida right now.
Correct. Well, we still have so much to be thankful for here on the West Coast, and with a heart of an Oklahoman and also the accent of a Texan, what would you like to say to go into a moment of silence to remember everyone deployed and to remember those homeless and without electricity and lights? I would like to say, may God bless America, for in God we trust. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen. Yes, and my prayer is that the hearts of people will be stirred to take back the ground the devil has stolen, because I tell you right now, we've got a crisis that we need a spiritual revolution in our country, and I believe it's within us, those of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus, to take back the ground.
Most definitely. Well, the Christina Silva Show has been broadcasting live around the world with a spirit of creative resiliency solutions through this radio live hour. So we want to thank you for being our special guest, because you fit the bill, having served in the Marines, to really be a warrior in this time. And so we had technical difficulties filming the show live yesterday on location, but today we are in the radio studio affirming that we stand true, therefore with our loins girt about with truth on the airwaves, to truly give our families the auxiliary, disabled American veterans, and those families that soldiers, airmen, coasties, sailors, and Marines have paid the ultimate sacrifice. So for the El Salvador Latino, for all the Medal of Honor recipients and the Gold Star families, we love you. And this Christina Silva Show is dedicated to giving you, through Ron Moore's work, something to look forward to that is an American pastime, that is a feel-good time through how to survive in the game of life. Right, Ron?
That's right, survivors in the game of life. It's going to be on the air before long.
No kidding. Well, over your radio broadcasting career, you were prepared as a Marine. And I wanted to know if you could share with the listeners and our sponsors and everyone around the world on military installations, including ships afloat, what your experience was and why you decided to join the Marine Corps.
Well, you know, it was one fall afternoon as I was driving around Denver, Colorado. I had gone up there actually to go to college. And as I was driving around one Saturday afternoon, I saw the very first military cemetery that I had ever seen. And so I got out, and as I began to walk around, I just felt stirred within me that it was time for me to do my duty for my country. And, you know, Christine, I actually went back to my little apartment, fasted and prayed for 3 days to make sure that it was God's will, and went down to the recruiter and said, I'm ready to fight. Kind of caught him off guard, but I was ready to go. And boy, did I have a great time. I mean, it was really the time of my life. Looking back, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
My goodness. I have that same feeling when I think of my Marine Corps service during the Persian Gulf era, and we were in serving in volatile times from your term to my term of the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the Persian Gulf, the War on Terror, World War I, World War II. We thank our veterans of foreign wars. Thank you for your service, Ron.
Well, thank you. It was my honor to get to serve.
And we're products of our life experience. I know that the Marine Corps has shaped me for being the voice of the greatest good and serving with the Salvation Army and other large veteran service organizations as a volunteer has truly scrubbed me in to know that what I did as an occupational specialty in admin and working in the gas chamber, preparing to deploy and making sure promotions and certifications for the troops in the Marine Corps MAG 16 and HMT 301 were ready. Readiness and emergency preparedness today is a reflection of who I am as a disabled American female Marine. PTSD, MST, TBI, nothing has anything on core values. When you believe in God, He's your protector, even in times of war. Share with us
That's
a
right.
memorable story from your Marine Corps service. I think it has to do with a sergeant of sorts.
Well, I was going to say that, yes, I mean, you were rattling off all those good things you got to do. I hit the beach in Okinawa. Did you know that?
I am amazed at your bio, and I want to thank you for that, too, that you knew when you were 14 and you grew up with your siblings in Oklahoma that, you were a child of the Lord, and you've been really great in the intro to let me know you're not afraid to share your core values and ethics and, the fortitude that you had to serve way back then, because the Marine Corps was certainly different in the 80s and 90s than it was when you served, right?
That's right. Yes, it was. My follow-up to I hit the beach in Okinawa was every afternoon with a towel and surfboard, I hit the beach. That's just a joke. It was a great experience. When I went to boot camp, you must understand, I was so out of shape that I had to go to what is affectionately known as the fat farm. I went to PCP, the physical conditioning platoon, for 3 months before I was just really ready to get into the real training. Well, when I got to that particular outfit, to the fat farm, as you know, in boot camp, the drill instructors always look at the mail that we get. They always look to make sure there's no lewd pictures coming into the guys, at least. And so, because there are just a few, women who would send pictures that they shouldn't be sending. And so they always checked all the photos. Well, while I was there at mail call, I got a piece of mail that he opened up, and there was a picture of me that I had taken just right before I left for boot camp. And it was of me in a white suit, a red, white, and blue striped shirt, and a bright red tie. Well, you can imagine, they hadn't gotten any pictures like that one. And so when they said, Mark, what did you do before you came to the Marine Corps? Now, I knew that if I said I was an evangelist, that was going to be all sorts of talk going around. So I told them I worked with young people. Well, and that's absolutely true. I did work with young people. Well, it wasn't about 15 minutes after mail call was over, and we were back in our racks, shining our boots and brass and all that good stuff, that I hear the call coming down from the squad bay. Sir, the evangelist. Sir, the evangelist. I'm going in. Oh, my gosh, he's got to be talking about me. So they saw from that picture that they knew that only an evangelist would be wearing a white suit, red, white, and blue striped shirt, and a bright red tie. So they called me in their office, and I got to share the Lord Jesus with them there in the drill instructor's office. And one of the drill instructors knew of one of the evangelists, a guy by the name of Bob Harrington. It was the chaplain of Bourbon Street. He asked me if I'd ever heard of him. Well, I was able to say, matter of fact, he's a friend of mine. And do you know that I saw that same drill instructor when Bob Harrington was in the San Diego arena for a big crusade shortly after I'd gotten out of boot camp? I saw that same drill instructor go forward and give his life to Jesus.
Goodness gracious. The vivid memories of our service it's ingrained in our hearts forever. I would do it all over again. Would you?
Oh, absolutely, I would.
And you recall the stories of standing firm in your beliefs that you grew up with parents and siblings, and you just had to contour that speech of hope to your comrades in a certain way without really, sacrificing your beliefs. And that is so great. It reminds me of the movie called Hacksaw Ridge that I saw with the Salvation Army.
Yes.
Hacksaw Ridge was an amazing testament of a soldier that didn't want to bear arms. And so
right.
that same brilliance, and we call that red balls, the the balls to have to remember everyone deployed. Thank you for sharing your story. Because as I had served with you and told you that I was a chapter service officer, since we've recently been acquainted at a Salvation Army football game, Rams versus Chargers, I feel connected to you like we are have known each other for life, really, as fellow.
Well, it seems like it, doesn't it?
Saying all that to say, share with me about the Marine Corps experience, what you felt as what we could say was prejudicial or predisposed plans of attack because of your belief.
It was just generally the atmosphere. You know, right before I went in, I had been traveling with a guy by the name of James Robinson, and right before I went in, I was with the team in Houston, Texas for Big Crusade, and the guy that did his music at the time, a guy by the name of John McKay, said, "Now, Ron, I know you like to tell everybody and their dog about Jesus, but when you get to boot camp, I think it just makes sense if you just keep your mouth shut for about a month." Well, you know, for a 19-year-old who knew it all, that was a rare teachable moment. I thought, yeah, that makes sense. So when I got there, sure enough, I didn't have to say anything. Do you know, within 2 weeks, those guys, because of the atmosphere, because in that day, there was a real difference in the language that was on the inside of the military versus on the outside. Now there's no difference in the language, but unfortunately. But do you know, within 2 weeks, guys began to come up to my rack and say, "Hey, what is it with you? You don't talk the way the rest of us do." And so I had a great opportunity to share the gospel with them, and ended up, you know, we had a, now you'll understand this, and Marines will understand, we had a big piece of dirt ground outside of our barracks that was called the pit. And so do you know that they allowed me on Sunday morning to lead the pit Bible study?
My gracious. Now give us the years and term of your service, landing in Okinawa, and paint a picture of us for what you saw and what the nature of the barracks consisted of, because we have prime time accommodations in our grand U.S. Armed Forces, in embassies all over the world, even deployed in some of the most remote locations, because that fight was primitive back then, and we want to salute our troops. Give us a graphic description of what things looked like back then and how the relationships and bonds were within a squadron, divided and united at the same time. Help us.
Well, you know, I was part of headquarters company because they got my test scores mixed up with somebody else. They said that I scored exceptionally high on the aptitude test. So I said, "There's no way those are my test scores. They got them mixed up." But I was assigned to headquarters company, headquarters battalion of the 3rd Marine Division, and we were there at Camp Courtney. And those barracks, it was great. The barracks just had little dividers in them until we had the Colonel of Marines come in charge, and he decided to take those down. So we had open squad bays. The whole big barracks was an open squad bay with nothing but our racks there. For you civilians listening, that's the bunks. And so, you know, it was a time, though, that we all knew that we were Americans and we were there to do a job. So the bond went deep, and it was great. You know, the prejudice, I really didn't see any because we had, in fact, that's why I became good friends with a couple of my black brothers. And it was just a time to serve, a time to do our job and be proud to be Marines.
My goodness. Well, thank you for dispelling the myth about camaraderie because it will never die. And we stand firm that we are supporters of our active duty military populace, and we include the Coast Guard, the law enforcement officers, and medical teams worldwide. For emergency preparedness is what we learned in boot camp. It still is possible for me to survive on my Harley, on two wheels, with a blanket and one change of clothes. I know how God has the earth still in its really rough format right now with rumors of wars and earthquakes and hurricanes, ample for us to live by example and to support others with this training.
And you know, one thing that we were all united on, and that was about the chow in the mess hall. I mean, I'll never forget. By this time, and as you know, I had the great privilege of preaching the first revival meetings and base chapels across the Isle of Okinawa. And so one of the guys that became a huge friend was our commanding officer, not the Colonel of Marines Walker, but this was Colonel of Marines Jones. And he began, he's a great Christian brother, and he began to call me by my first name. Well, that was a little awkward, I got to tell you. And I didn't call him by his first name. I wasn't about to do that, but he called me by my first name. So of course, all the guys started razzing me. Hey, he's your old buddy. Well, one morning, I was there in the mess hall. We were eating breakfast, and I had some cream beef. All I'll call it the other name. Well, I had some cream beef, and I bit into a screw that was in the cream beef.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I took that. Yeah, a real screw. And so, of all mornings, the Colonel Jones, the commanding officer of headquarters company, was walking through the mess hall with the mess sergeant. Well, all my guys around the table, all my buddies said, you ought to go tell your old buddy about that. I said, and by this time I had it. I said, I believe I'm going to. Oh, no, we're just kidding. Dude. I said, no, I'm going to go talk to him. So as he was walking around the mess hall with the mess sergeant, I walked up to him. And he said, morning, Rod. I said, morning, sir. How are you? I said, morning, top sergeant. And he said, hey, good morning. I said, excuse me, gentlemen, I hate to interrupt this walkthrough, but, Sergeant, I was just curious, do you charge extra for this screw that I found in the cream beef? You should have seen the look on his face. Oh, my gosh. And he was starting stuttering and stammering, and, you know, from that point on, I got pretty much whatever I wanted to get from that mess hall. And the amount of food I wanted to get, I got it. He didn't know if I was a plant from the old man or if I was really, for real, a Lance Corporal of Marines. So he didn't know.
Well, America, from camis to his civvies, Ron Moore is being himself in and out of uniform. And you're listening to the Christina Silva Show, educating our veterans. Now, Ron Moore is a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps and has shared some of graphic stories with us about his life experience, and now we're going to roll into his career after the Marine Corps and as a very well-known radio and TV host from Oklahoma's K-Love stations worldwide, and also to tell us about some of his new projects as an executive producer of Survivors in the Game of Life. Ron, take us to the day you got out of the Marine Corps into adulthood, and tell us a little bit about your radio and television career as a top personality still tearing up in the ranks on air.
Well, it was a great experience being able to go to school on the GI Bill. What a great opportunity to get education for my 2 years of active duty service. And I went to college, went to graduate school, worked towards a master's degree, though I did not finish that master's degree. But I had a great time, married, had 3 children at the time, and so, you know, God has been good to me through the years, got to pastor churches in Colorado and in Texas. And so then I had a life-changing event. Many of you can identify with this. It's not supposed to be this way, but I went through a divorce. And it changed my pastoral ministry, but it didn't. But God never took his hand off of me. And I tell people I just don't pastor a four-wall church anymore. I pastored the first church of Facebook, that's what I call it. But because a lot of opportunities to minister through there. But you know, God was restoring me, though. He opened the door with K-Love Radio, had a great run there back in Oklahoma City. I had been on the cusp of contemporary Christian music since before they called it contemporary Christian music. And so they wanted me to join forces with them and had a great run there. While I was there, got to do a television show. And that's where God began to stir within me the show Survivors in the Game of Life, to do a show on secular television that would give people hope and encouragement. Because, you know, Christina, I believe more than ever before in our nation's history, people just need some hope and encouragement that they can make it.
Most definitely. We call that scientific rewiring of the brain. We call that creative resiliency solutions. What a brilliant expose about the softer, more intimate side of Ron Moore, a regular human being known on radio and television already, exposing the fact that life brings us these pathways and changes and challenges that in a spiritual realm are really just the same tribulations we all go through at war. It's the war of the mind, of the spirit, of the soul, and of the body, but there are certain toolbox elements called core values that can help us overcome. So you and I together joining forces today, we put our lives out on the line to help our listeners know we're just like them. We're called according to our purpose, and we are who we are no matter what. Could you imagine not having the opportunity to be on the radio and your personality with that Texas twang? Not people the gift of communications and pastoral mentorship.
Well, you know, Christine, you had mentioned this. You'd want me to share a little bit about this, and I know we got to wind this up here, but the book that was released a few years ago by Tate Publishing entitled How to Keep Swinging When You've Taken More Hits Than a Louisville Slugger, which you can find on Amazon.com still, that was what stirred within me to do that was actually a football game. It's just I know I'm all about baseball, I know football, but it was actually an Oklahoma University football game on Saturday, and the now infamous quarterback, Rhett Bomar, had just made a really stupid play. And the camera had, it's like it just zoomed in right through his helmet to see his facial expressions of, I can't believe I just did that. But then in a heartbeat, it's like the facial expressions turn to, okay, that's done. I can't worry about it. I can't change it. It's already done. I've got a game to play. And I mean, when I saw that, lights flashed and bells clang. You know, God can speak to you through any number of ways if you're listening. And God spoke to me about how many people do something stupid in the game of life. And instead of shaking it off, realizing they can't undo it and go on, boy, they lay down on the playing field of guilt and condemnation and wallow in all that for sometimes years while the game of life keeps going on all the time. And I said, dear God, let me write something that will speak to people that will encourage them to get themselves, pick themselves up, wash themselves off, and go on in the game of life.
We are above and beyond with our Marine Corps slogan, to adapt and overcome. We are in our camis and our civvies, and our uniforms are our voices on air to empower you to reach out and get ready for a new TV series that is set to inspire and motivate you because you are a survivor in the game of life. Ron, I look forward to collaborating in many more ways, and that's with your comedic side as a fellow co-host. Just give us a joke as we wrap up the Christina Silva Show Wednesday, September the 13th.
Boy, that reminds me of when I was about to introduce Rebecca St. James on stage, and her dad runs up behind me and says, don't bring her on yet. Tell a joke. She's not ready. I'm going, okay, let's say that. Let me just tell you one real quick here. This is going to be a blonde joke, so you're going to like this one, Christina. a blonde had walked into a library and said, I'd like to order French fries and a hamburger and a Coke. The lady looks at the librarian looks at it and goes, this is a library. The blonde looks at it and goes, oh, in that case, I'd like to order a hamburger, French fries, and Coke. And she began to whisper her order. So,
this is so amazing, just being ourselves on air. I am so fortunate to have listeners around the world on AM 720, iHeartRadio, and the CRS multimedia platform that is exclusive to reaching our members of the military from the Pentagon to ships afloat. Ron, you've made this an awesome show, and survivors in the game of life are about real-world people that overcome divorce, travail, sickness, death, loss of a loved one, or loss of a soldier. Can you imagine the lives we're going to affect educating our veterans with boots on the ground, Marine Corps style together?
I believe it.
Awesome. Believe it to receive it, and keep on listening to the Christina Silva Show, and check out Ron Moore's works online, and stay tuned for more empowerment and motivation as CRS Bikes and Laughs Comedy Entertainment Resiliency Tour comes in effect October 2017. It'll feature the likes and the funny personality of TV radio sensation Ron Moore. And we'll be right back right after this.